This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins. Oh! An impossible catch.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher, on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for It Must Be a Tuesday, but baby, come on, baby. It's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you, Joe Fisher to my left.
Let's go!
Schultzy on the ones and twos. We got North Carolina up 35-16. 37-16, giving you live updates. I'm a man of the people.
How dare they let North Carolina in this tournament?
You still fill your bracket up, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Noted newsman over here, but wow. I am Isaac Rop Light. I know he's the guy.
Yeah,
he's the guy to give you all your breaking news. But I will, since I am sitting in the chair that he was just sitting in, it's kind of warm. I'm worried he farted all day.
I'm freezing cold. I don't know if you can see me nipping on the YouTube stream, but I could cut sheetrock with these things, man.
Yep. I see Ryan Buckley outside. He is taking some pictures of something. I'm not sure, but
maybe these nips.
Gang's all here. Gang. Gong gang.
Yeah, I'm freezing in the studio. Are you not cold?
No. I'm wearing a sweatshirt. God.
Did you guys watch baseball this morning?
I'm a little tired.
I'll be honest. I did.
No, I did not.
Watched at least three innings. It wasn't very entertaining.
Funny enough, I did not. I was talking with a buddy yesterday. Schultzy, I love that you brought this up. I was talking with a buddy yesterday about, you know, are you going to... Because on work days... You know, I try to go to bed around 9, 10 o'clock. And it's like, well, can you get, you know, 5 hours in and then wake up at 2 and or 3 and watch the game for a little bit? You know, not the whole game, but a little bit and pass out. Yeah. And then the wife and I last night decided to tie one on real hard. She's dead at home. R.I.P. my wife.
What'd you do to her?
Yeah.
I didn't do anything. She did it to herself.
Was it the bourbon?
Blame it on alcohol.
She got that brown bottle flu. And I was thinking about it. It's like, well, but I love baseball. You know, I love baseball. I'm so excited that there's real baseball. You know, I got fantasy implications. And also, it's just baseball. Dodgers Cubs in Tokyo. I wanted to see the Shohei spectacle. I think the reality is at the end of the day is that I love baseball so much that I don't care. It's still just a game. And... if I got home tonight and 7 o'clock first pitch was Yamamoto was our homie Yoshi against Shota. Like, I would watch that at home, but I also wouldn't run home to watch it. You know what I mean? Like, if it's Yoshi Shota game one of the NLCS, yes, I'm running home to watch that. But I also think, you know, as much as I love Tokyo being kind of this, you know, they did in Korea last year, I love that we're doing this to spread the game and give some love to our Pacific brothers over there. But I don't know, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., like, during COVID, it was cool to watch Korean baseball, but I don't know if I love anything enough to wake up from a deep sleep 5 hours at 3 a.m. to watch something.
Well, Patrick, I think...
I don't watch Liverpool games at 6, okay? Let's put it that way. I don't watch Liverpool at 6 a.m.
All right.
So I'm not going to watch baseball at 3 a.m.
I think I can sum this up for you. It's stupid.
It's kind
of
stupid.
It shouldn't be done. If you're going to play a game in Japan, I don't care about that. That's cool. Do it in the middle of the season. Do it at a time where it's not literally the first game of the new MLB season. I understand we'll have opening day and everybody will be wearing their hats into the office.
Now, this kind of ruins opening day.
But it's weird. It is America's pastime, damn it. Make baseball great again. This is our game. How dare they take it from us?
What did you learn today? Joe is a racist.
Wow. Mega bro over there.
Mega bro over
there. But I hear you. It takes a little bit of excitement. Like, it's the first game, but it's not opening day.
Well, it's tough. It was not that entertaining. Like, I don't think it was worth waking up for.
Like, I was at work today, and I threw the MLB Network on, and there were spring training games. And so you're like watching that, and there were like highlights. I saw some highlights of some of the Red Sox young kids that they got, like the shortstop Roman Anthony.
Okay.
There was Roman Anthony and that Mayer kid at shortstop who I have in a dynasty league.
There you go.
Like, I saw some highlights of that, but I'm still kind of in spring training mode. So I'm kind of with you, Joe, that in the middle of the season would be cool. But I also wish other teams weren't still playing spring training. You know what I mean? Like, if opening day is, say, the 27th, the 28th, the 1st, whatever it is, if you could find a way to have it right then and there, that's what I'd be interested in. Or these are exhibition games, but Major League Baseball kind of like, hey, Doc. Hey, Doc Roberts, you know, hey, council, like, play your guys. If it wasn't a true, like, exhibition, if it wasn't a true spring training game, but they were like, hey, I want you to throw Yamamoto, and I want you to try.
What if it was an
that I'd be down with.
What if it was an All-Star game instead? What if we did the All-Star game
in Japan?
Tokyo Dome, 2025. No. Wouldn't that, who cares about
it? Joe says no. Schultzy, this might be the greatest thing I've ever heard from you in my entire life.
I just don't understand.
The Major League Baseball All-Star game in Tokyo?
Worldwide, yeah.
Oh, I'm so in.
If you wanted to
sign me up.
MLB fans worldwide.
And the next year is in, like, Puerto Rico?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you go on a world tour.
Sign me up.
And you get Shohei Ohtani hitting a home run at an All-Star game or competing in a freaking home run derby in Tokyo for Major League Baseball.
God.
And you have fans going nuts.
Pro Bowl style.
Got me going early
Pro Bowl
tonight.
Style, but you're in Tokyo or the Dominican
and
Puerto Rico.
Nobody cares about, like, the schedule. It's not hurting the start of the season. Games aren't being, like, put on an uneven plane. I think you're right, dude. I'm going to pat myself on the back for this one.
You should.
Roll lately. This
you
one
should, dude.
Is
I
a
am
good
six
idea.
To midnight right now.
Let's go.
Like, 6 to midnight.
Whew.
And this is the heart. This is like a New Year's Eve midnight.
Could you imagine, like, Bobby Witt Jr. facing off against Shohei Ohtani in, like, the bottom of the 8th inning in the All-Star game? Are you freaking kidding me?
Joe, you hate baseball if you're not into this.
I think that'd be awesome in America.
God dang it, man.
I thought this was America.
It's America, isn't it?
Again, I'm fine with playing games international, but just it shouldn't be opening day.
And, I swear to God, that'll stop your heart.
I don't know. All-Star game would be all right. Maybe every, like, 5 years or so. But I don't know. Like this.
I mean, you got a point. Like baseball is. Why are we talking sports in the beginning?
Yeah, sorry, we cut.
It's okay. Off the rails. That's you're right. I mean, baseball is America's pastime. Yes, NFL is ahead of it, but I would like to argue right now that baseball is ahead of NBA. Just throwing that out there.
Everybody touts but you're right. $6 billion deal, though.
I get you, Joe. Like, this is an American game, and we should celebrate. You know, basketball is created in Canada. You know, we don't give the Canadians any love for it, especially because we hate Canada right now, right? Is that what I'm told? Is that what I'm supposed to know now?
Is Dr. Naismith from Canada?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
How about that? What the hell?
Right?
Yeah, then send over the NBA All-Star game over to Toronto or something like that. Let them have it.
I think they should go.
Play it up in Saskatchewan or whatever.
I think they should go to the Yukon. I think they should go
the
to the
Northern
UConn.
Territories.
The
up
Northern
there.
Territories.
Good Lord.
Play basketball on ice.
You can go ahead and play it in Newfoundland or whatever it is.
I mean, Newfoundland.
There's
whatever,
this.
Like they just found it. That's why it's Newfoundland.
Is that how you say that?
No, it's Newfoundland.
Oh, there you go.
There's this. It's like way northern Alaska. It's this traditional, like every year called a midnight game.
So they spelled Newfoundland.
Yeah, it is. It's but
yeah, but it's also spelled Norfolk State, and it's Norfolk State.
Oh God, English sucks. Okay, come on. We spell the word knife with a K at the beginning. All right, just there. But I think the most like grandiose sporting event up in Canada is like the midnight high school football game that happens like up either like in the Northern Territories or up in the north part of Alaska, only because it's light at midnight there during solstice or whatever. So, not much happening up there, guys.
What I learned today, Joe, is USA.
Damn right. We got to manufacture our own baseball games here in our country and bring baseball back into the States. Some people said that we used to love baseball.
I love that you punched back.
And now every other country thinks they have better baseball than us.
For those that aren't on the YouTube feed, Joe just cocked back and put his hands like an accordion as he was saying that.
Tried to make him tinier, too. It was good.
Now, listen, other countries want baseball, but this is our sport.
But baseball is the best sport I've ever seen.
250% tariff on baseball in other countries.
The Japanese want to play baseball, but they don't play baseball like us.
America's baseball is great. We've got to send it around the world. They've got to see our greatness.
Quite honestly, though, if we had a little bit more passion in our stands like the Japanese during these
I would
games,
argue the Mexicans have the best.
I hear Korea gets crazy.
Game?
They got full
Korea
bands.
Gets crazy, too.
They're going wild. It's like game 106 in their regular season, and they're still getting it up.
Make America baseball again. Oakley Doakley. Well, we got a hell of a show for you tonight. We are leading in to Major League Baseball season. So, like we love to do, we will look at the league. We will take our World Series picks tonight. We will shout out some MVP choices, some Cy Young choices. We will also deep dive into your local team, not the Oakland Athletics, not the Sacramento Athletics, or the Portland Athletics.
Oh, I was going to say, we already did the mock-ups. What are you talking about?
I got a hot take on that one, too.
But let's take a deep dive into Schultz's Seattle Mariners. This is our team. We follow them. We like to talk about them. We watch them. They're a very polarizing team. And we will start next looking at your Seattle Mariners. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader. Today, the 717 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. A lot to get to in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll dive into some of our Cy Young picks, MVP picks, World Series picks, etc. Plus, fair or foul, everybody's favorite at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. You guys were talking about this in the break, and I heard the commercial as well. Fan Madness at A&A on Thursday and Friday. I will be there on Thursday all day. I'm going to be there all day on Thursday. Yeah. Going with a buddy. I'm not a big gambler, but we went last year, and Isache gave me a lot of betting tips and like kind of taught me how to bet because I'm just not a gambler. So don't really know. Like, I understand over-unders and spreads and things like that, the normal average stuff, but I don't really know how to bet. So Isachi,
he taught you how to read between the lines.
Yeah, he helped me out. Isaac helped me out a lot last year, and I won a lot of money.
You can say goodbye to that money then.
So, and I actually won some money from some heads-up stuff that Isaac gave me. So I'll be up there. Joe, are you going to Fan Madness?
I will be there Friday. And
no Thursday, though.
No, I gotta get.
You're a bus guy, aren't you?
Gotta get some work in, and we'll be taking the party bus up on there on Friday. And I'm trying to convince one of my buddies to come up and watch the Ducks game up there, because regardless of, you know,
they're Friday night, right?
Yeah, I think the last game on Friday night,
7:10 p.m.
Yes,
tip-off,
right here on the Fan.
Home of the Ducks.
But last year I did 11 a.m. party bus up there and left at 7. And when the 7 o'clock came around, like, I didn't want to leave.
Yeah,
I was having a good time at the blackjack table. There were still a couple games on. Like,
GM Kim was sauced.
Like, oh, dude, I was literally like, yeah. I was like the teacher on a field trip. Like, okay, love everybody, Kim. Bus is here. Like, I was telling them.
I mean, resident Red Sox fan, boss man Ryan Cooley, he was hitting the tables hard.
I remember telling all of them, I'm like, it's 6:30.
He won a ton of money and then lost it all.
Hey, by the way, it's 6:50. It's 6:50. You guys better wrap it up.
I think, like, I had to go help you round them up.
I very much was the dad on that Friday night last
on
year.
Thursday, I will be there at 8:30 a.m.
Wow.
Boom.
Me and the buddy are going up, and we're going to watch games. We did it last year. It was really fun. I might go up on Friday as well for a little bit, but I have to work at 3, so I'll probably only be there for half a day. But I'll be there on Thursday. I'm really excited for it. I've got my paper bracket right here in front of me.
How about that?
I still fill out a paper bracket, even though it's all online now in my money leagues. It's all online. We do it through CBS Sports. It's
nostalgic doing it paper.
But I like having a paper, because then I'll have a yellow.
We used to fill out brackets in this country with pen and paper, and now it's all, and now everything's, it's all computer.
And Elon's going to take care of that, so don't worry. I have a paper bracket, and I will keep a yellow highlighter and a black Sharpie. And I will follow along, like follow the bouncing ball, like the sing-along songs. I still do that.
What, like karaoke?
Or No. Like, I follow along. So it's like,
oh, I see.
So, like, for example, I have Michigan State in the Elite Eight, but should they lose to Bryant tomorrow, I will take the black Sharpie and black their name out all the way across. Because I always try to look at it. You know, as outside of Jason Swigard, I probably watch more college basketball than anybody else in the Fan.
Hot take.
I mean, Rop watches Kansas. I'll give him some love for that. I heard the boys this morning.
I feel like Sprague watches a lot.
He does not watch college basketball.
Really?
He watches NBA.
Okay. More and more, I feel like he's talking about
college. He's a hooper. I'm a student athlete. Okay.
That's fair.
Student mathlete, I should say.
Master.
And I heard Andy this morning say he watched Oregon play somebody and they won by 30, so he's like, I got him in the Final Four.
And well, they've got, like, a pretty easy road.
I was like, that's a really terrible, terrible take. But yeah, maybe outside of Swigard, and maybe I could rival Isaac Rop, because he does watch a lot of Big 12 because of Kansas. I watch a lot of college basketball. Doesn't mean I'm good at brackets. I'm terrible at brackets.
I still got to fill out my bracket. I haven't done it yet.
Ditto.
I got a paper right here if you want to cheat.
I need to get after it.
I got a winner.
No, I want to get picks correct, so you can just keep that there.
Hey-o.
It's all good. But yeah, I got.
But I'm excited. I'm going to go up there. I think I'm going to take $100. I think I'm going to take $100. I'll do a couple of straight up games, but I'll also probably do a couple parlays.
Not going to hit the tables at all?
No. I'm not a table guy.
You know, I've been getting screwed on my blackjack app on the phone by the dealers.
Not real, right?
Not real.
Good.
You know, just
I mean, I like getting screwed.
Getting
well,
ready.
Ditto, but I mean, out of money on an app. Like,
you guys like butt stuff?
I don't know. Let's talk about it next segment.
Maybe off the air.
Wow. Totally threw me off there.
Yeah, Joe doesn't know where to go right now.
It's like, well,
I can tell you where to go.
I'm just hoping that...
Are you a one or a two guy?
I'm hoping that my phone and getting screwed by the dealer on the blackjack app is just like... you know, like, it's I'm getting all the bad out now.
Yeah.
And then Friday, it's just win, 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 win. Just on an absolute heater. That's what I'm hoping for.
I'm excited. I've kind of expanded my table game foray a little bit. I used to just be a blackjack guy. Ultimate Texas Hold'em, it's pretty fun if you can find a cheaper limit. And then I actually know how to play Pai Gow now, so I'm excited to sit down. And that's a good game to just drink, apparently, because there's a lot of pushes.
I once bartended at a casino in Pullman, Washington. Yes, there is a casino in Pullman, Washington. It is still there.
Oh, God, I don't want
to. Connected to a bowling alley.
Mm.
And he used to be a bartender and a server there, and I used to do the bowling league with some friends, and that was a lot of fun. But they had a card room. You couldn't do hold'em because of like laws or something like that, but they had blackjack and Pai Gow. So yeah, I got to know Pai Gow real well.
Well, poker regs are different than casinos.
I can't play card games. Because, like, I like to with friends. Like, I've done poker tournaments. I used to play poker, like, every Saturday night with some friends. I like that, but I can't do it at those stakes because it's just too random. Like, I don't know what cards are coming.
Well, but that's kind of the point.
I know, exactly. Yeah, to your point, Jordan, that's exactly the point, which is why I'm not in. Like, it's fundamentally not my jam.
I don't really...
To where I'm down to gamble on, is North Carolina going to beat San Diego State? Right now, that gamble looks real good.
All I'll say with table games is I don't have the capacity to learn anything new. And also, I don't have the patience for Texas Hold'em anymore.
USA.
Just
USA.
Waiting for the right hand.
Yeah, in person, you have to... I play Texas Hold'em
technology
online.
Technology and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. For real money, there are many games. It's available online for, I don't know, pretty cheap, I think. And I like to play it online, but just in person is too slow. You can play the same amount of hands on a computer or a phone like that you could, I think, in real time in a tenth of the time. So,
yeah. No thanks. Yeah, I just kind of...
Zeppos?
Zeppos, that's it, man. That's where I work.
Shout out to Coug Ludes. He just messaged me a little bit ago. Zeppos, name of the casino bowling alley.
Bowling alley casino.
Yeah, I used to work at Zeppos.
Good job, John Ludwig. You're the man.
Bowling arcade family fun. This is fantastic.
Yeah, dude. Pullman, dude.
Pullman is just the best. It is a party town of, like, tiny party towns.
That's my home. I've told my wife I want to retire in Pullman. And she was like, are you single? Am I dead?
I have yet to
visit.
And
I said, well,
Pullman.
If you are, then yeah, I'm going back to Pullman.
I have yet to visit Pullman.
It's wonderful. Smallest stadium in the Pac-12.
Take your word for it.
Pullman is
right there. The only stadium in the Pac-12 that you can't drink in the stadium.
Yeah, I remember that.
But
my stepdad was not happy about that one.
But they give you re-entry.
Yes, you get to go out to the little whatever.
Oh, so at halftime,
what's their Mashovsky Center called?
The tailgate's right across the street.
Yeah, but they also have like a little warehouse area.
The field house.
Thank you, the field house. Yeah. That was fun too. I remember going. I think I was 14. Like that was one of my better memories.
There's three bars like four blocks away.
Back 10. Really?
Yeah.
You
got to walk up a hill, but welcome to Pullman.
Sounds like
everywhere you go, Pullman is the only city that you will walk uphill both ways in the snow. You will. It's the truth. I got to go to class. Wrong. I got to walk up a hill, and then I got to walk down a hill. And on the way back, you walk up the hill and then down the hill.
Yeah, I see a golf course there.
Oh, Palouse Ridge.
Held
many Pac-12 Palouse, championships. Palouse it's actually Ridge a golf really club. Great course, and it's very difficult.
Well, that might get me there. And maybe Washington State football game. Maybe.
We still play football?
You need a conference, and then we'll see.
Oh, I didn't think we played football. Interesting.
In due time.
Breaking news?
That Washington State plays football.
Yeah, is that breaking news? I thought last year was our last year.
Every season, we're on the edge, hoping and waiting, and then season starts, and then you got a football team.
All right, we've wasted enough time. Let's get out of here. Let's look into the Seattle Mariners.
Do we have to?
I think we do. I think the American League West is the most fascinating division of all of them. I think it's wide open. I think anybody can win this, and anybody can be in last place unless you are the Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles.
Who still spent more money than the Mariners.
Who still spent more money than maybe everybody in that division.
Actually, possibly, yeah.
Possibly, no, yes.
I think them are the A's.
Yeah, so we'll dive into the Seattle Mariners and take a peek. What does this team look like? How is pitching going to go? How's the offense going to go? Are we still talking stadium depth? All that jazz. But first, I'll throw it over to my man, Schultze. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll dive into some of our just general thoughts on the 2025 Major League season. We'll look into some Cy Young favorites, some MVP favorites, and all that kind of stuff. And we'll also pick our World Series champions. But I'd like to spend the next half hour, if we have it. I said this to Joe before the show. I was like, we'll get through the first hour. We'll do the Mariners in the first hour. And Joe goes, an hour? He goes, an hour? There's enough to talk about in an hour?
Nobody listens to my podcast, but yes, there is enough to talk about.
There is enough to talk about. And
a lot of story.
I guess the question is, friends, like, where do you want to start?
Oh, I want to start right here. Or, yeah.
Dude, like clockwork. An offseason where nothing happens, and then Schultze, just a few days before opening day, is like, dude, let's effing go.
Let's go.
No, I need to hear this music to feel good about this team. And you know what? The non-roster invite and minor league signing of Rowdy Tellez actually kind of has me noon to six right now.
Rowdy Tellez.
Because he's actually a hitter that will be the designated hitter, as opposed to like, oh, we're just going to give an off guy. Like, oh, here, it's the normal second baseman. He's playing DH this day. Then it'll be the left fielder tomorrow. So
in the span of 30 minutes, Schultze sent me from 6 to midnight and then midnight to 6. Talking to me about Rowdy Tellez.
Well, these are the things I have to be excited about.
Joe, you mentioned it. That's where we'll start. Let's talk about these Seattle Mariners and what they have done in this offseason. There was a lot of potential talk, you know. Could you snake a Cody Bellinger? Could you snake a Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt? Obviously, first base has been a big spot of concern. Pete Alonso, you know, there was a lot of flirting with that kind of stuff. How are we supposed to look at these Seattle Mariners knowing that they basically did nothing in the offseason? I mean, literally nothing.
I think that it is a prove me wrong. Show me that you can hit like you did the back half of two seasons ago. Where Julio just went on an absolute tear and they had a great July through September. And I think that's what this front office is banking on, is that last year was a fluke, essentially. And
a fluke in a bad way.
Yes. Yeah. But, I mean, was it maybe that 3-month stretch in 2023 was a fluke in some sense, right? Like, this is a kind of a rubber meets the road season for this team and this front office. Like, you did nothing because you think that this team has enough talent on offense. Now, granted, it's different from that 2023 team in that you're getting Randy Arozarena, Jorge Polanco, you're hoping has a better second year with the team. So, again, you're banking on essentially being like, no, we're fine. Last year was just an anomaly, and we're gonna have a much better year this year. Well, you better be right. Because heads are going to roll if not.
I think you're spot on. Like, I don't want to kill DePoto for doing basically nothing in this offseason. Because if you look at it, there's not a lot of holes to fill, right? Starting rotation, best in the game. I'm still going to say that. I know the Dodgers get Roky Sasaki and Blake Snell, and I think they have a nice rotation. But good God, 1-6? In Seattle, if we're throwing Emerson Hancock in there, I love this rotation, okay? Bullpen, really solid. Munoz is clearly identified himself as a top closer in the game. I still think the best closer in the game is Emmanuel Clase and Hader right behind him. You know, and we'll see what Williams does in New York. etc. But Munoz is a top-tier closer in baseball. And I think that bullpen is really solid and that rotation is really solid. All right, so there, boom, there's half of your team is I'm good. Defensively, J.P. Crawford, really solid at shortstop. The no-fly zone in center field, Julio's pretty damn good in center field. Your defense isn't that bad. So now what we're looking at is hitting, right? How does hitting go? And Joe, you touched on it. Julio has a down year. J.P. Crawford's hurt all year. I mean, Julio's hurt all year, basically. So you've got, that's kind of your addition, is that our hitting can't be as bad because our hitting was never good and healthy. I also would argue, I don't know how many guys that were available free agent-wise were worth going to get.
But more worth re-signing one of the players that you just said was bad. And I'm all for, this is where I'm going to push back a little bit with you guys. I'm all for banking on some things to rebound. I'm all for thinking Julio's going to return to near MVP form, all-star form. I'm all for JP probably not hitting, you know, 195 again, assuming that he's going to rebound off of that. But if you're then assuming, on top of all of that, that Jorge Polanco's apparently the healthiest he's been in his career ever is going to come back and play a stellar season at a position he's never played before. You're assuming a Rosarena is going to bat above 220. You're assuming, you know, that Mitch Haniger is going to be able to contribute off the bench. You're assuming Mitch Garver is going to continue his hot spring training into the regular season. I don't have to keep going. It's just assumption upon assumption upon assumption. And I've said this a couple of times now on the program, spit in one hand, hope in the other. Tell me which one fills up first. I'm all for depending on a couple of things, but depending on everything 1 through 9, literally outside of Cal and Luke Raley last year, and then Justin Turner late in the season, they were terrible. And they're literally asking 7 guys to bounce back and 2 to continue all-star career highlight performances. I believe some of those can happen. I don't think all of them can.
What I will push back is that they don't need all 7. They need 2.
I would disagree. They do need more than that.
I'm not worried about Polanco. Julio's got to be the Julio you think he is.
Well, I'm sorry. I think that also you need to add Randy Arozarena to that list
as
well.
Yeah, okay. Like, Randy's got to be better.
He's a cleanup hitter on a team that's supposed to be a playoff team, but what other elite or better playoff team than the Mariners is he a number 4 hitter on? He's good. He's usually a 2 or a 5 or a 6. He ain't a cleanup hitter. And that's what the Mariners are dealing with. And once again, leaning on all of those assumptions. Not a couple, but literally like 8.
But who were you really going to get? Who was really worth it to make you feel that this roster was going to be great? That was available.
I mean, I really wanted a Pete Alonso. Obviously, the Mariners weren't going to spend that money. He was never in the conversation. Jerry DePoto said, by design, the Mariners aren't going after big-name free agents. And
I think New York's going to hate that Pete deal.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not the worst deal in the world, though, right? Like, do you, like, hate it? Why? Because he's going to be able to get out of it?
But I think one of the most important things to think about when it comes to this Mariner team and their offensive struggles is, yeah, we need 7 guys to be better. That's a lot of variables. Yes, they're variables. Yes, it's hope. But you've got a lot of hope. You've got a lot of chances of people to be better. J.P. Crawford, you need him to be 2023. Or a similar version of 2023, which I think he will be. The big one's Julio. Julio's got to step up and be, you know, an Acuna-type player or a Bregman 4 years ago-type guy that is ready to take that mantle. But I think by having 7 guys that need to step up, look, you had 7 guys play bad last year, and you were still not that far out of the playoffs.
I know, but they had, Joe, I know you got to chime in here. I'm going to finish just with this, that they had the opportunity. Maybe on the free agent market, there weren't as many great guys, but like Tyler O'Neill, I thought was a great one to go get. Santander, free agent off of the Orioles, I think he could have been an option for the Mariners.
The fact that Los went back to Cleveland and not Seattle was really telling.
Exactly. And so it was hard for them.
I'll give you that.
But then even in a trade, they had the opportunity, and I would have done this yesterday, Luis Castillo to the Red Sox for Tristan Casas and Masataka Yoshida.
Without a doubt.
I would have done that in a heartbeat. That makes you an ALDS team right now, and I think that's a mistake that Mariners fans will hold not necessarily against DePoto, more against ownership, as Justin Turner called them out. But that's why we're pissed, because they have the opportunity to make those moves. And when you ask, were there better names they could have gone to get? Absolutely, there were.
Yeah, I mean, they could have just done anything.
Anything.
It's not so much like what, like, it just seemed that
JD Martinez is out there. Alex Verdugo is out there. I know Verdugo is a clubhouse cancer, but Verdugo's out there. He was in the World Series last year.
And I kind of see both points, where it's like, you need 7-8 dudes to play better than they did last year. It's like, yeah, they all kind of sucked collectively, but I'm also in the camp of like, dude, if you can just get half of those guys,
that's what I'm saying,
to play to their potential, if you can get Julio, Randy Arozarena,
and
JP Crawford, and then get some love out of Polanco or something out of Garver.
I mean, yeah.
It's like, if you can get four of those guys just to play way better than they did last year, then
you're in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. You are a playoff team, especially with the pitching. I think everybody's in agreement. Pitching is not what we have to worry about with this team. It's putting the bat on the ball and doing it at home.
And this division is wide open. And that's where I want to go to next is, how do you see this playing out for the Seattle Mariners? Looking around the division, looking at, you know, Houston, which is on a decline. The A's, I believe, are on a huge incline. Texas is always going to spend money. Their lineup is sexy. And the Angels have spent maybe more money than anyone in the division. So that's where I want to go next. If what Joe is saying, two or three or maybe a fourth guy can contribute better, is that enough to win the division? And that's what I want to talk about. Can the Seattle Mariners win this division next year? We'll do that next. The Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
Patrick would lead this segment, but he is just going to absolute town on this salad in here. What is that? Are those apples?
Eat it,
some
baby.
Sort of nuts? Some sort of seeds?
He's eating those nuts.
Some blue cheese crumble? Some gorgonzola? I mean, my God. One of my most nostalgic restaurants was Izzy's, because their salad bar absolutely slapped.
Izzy's pizza and a whole lot more.
Oh, a lot of salad toppings. The little mini corns you could throw on
cottage
there.
Cottage cheese on the salad at Izzy's?
Absolutely not.
All right,
you are a heathen for throwing cottage cheese on your salad.
I love cottage cheese. I would never put it on a salad. Cottage cheese is meant to be eaten alone.
You guys are
cottage cheese really is not meant to be eaten at all, personally.
I love cottage cheese.
I think you can just toss it right in the garbage, because it looks like it, when you open it up, that it should be thrown in the garbage.
It is mold.
It's all curdled. And
it is mold.
Dude, what are we doing?
It's
not 1963. We don't need to eat cottage cheese anymore.
There's a couple things I need to say real quick.
Kind of salad that is?
I'm working on this body. This body is in bad shape.
It is a temple.
And I'm working on this body. So I'm eating healthy, but I'm also intermittent fasting. So I have 12 more minutes to eat the rest of my food tonight.
Well, at least Dirt didn't call you fat on air the other day.
I know, I heard it too. I just happened to be in the car when
they
called me.
Oh my God.
And number two, dang, I forgot.
What that salad is. What are you?
No, you had a great story about something else.
Izzy's?
Izzy's, yes. In high school, we had a German exchange student, Fabian Donsbach from Cologne.
Fabian Donsbach.
Fabian.
My homeboy Fabian is actually a tennis coach for the number 22 ranked women's player in the world. Damn. He was at the Australian Open. We randomly saw him on TV. So shout out my boy Fabian.
Fabian.
Number two, when we were in high school, we would always go to the Muchas Gracias on Highway 99 in Vancouver.
Get that Oregon burrito?
No, we got like kids' meals because we had no money. And we remember right before graduation, right before he left, we said, Fabian, what's your favorite restaurant in America? And he goes, McDonald's. Oh, I don't know. Izzy's is pretty good.
Yes.
Is what he would say.
So smart man.
Anytime anybody brings up Izzy's, I always think of my boy Fabian.
R.I.P. Izzy's.
No kidding.
Gone, but not forgotten.
Because there was an Izzy's in Salmon Creek, North Vancouver. Yeah.
I went there in its dying days. It was not pretty.
No.
They were still around, I think, when we were all in college. And it was like, oh, this is turned.
Sorry, on a random note, have you heard of this Mizumi Buffet in Tigard?
No.
I've heard of it.
It's like an Asian buffet where you pay like 20-something bucks, and they just got... It's basically like a hometown buffet,
But it's Asian food?
But Asian food.
Yeah, I'm hella down for that.
Yeah, me too.
Without a doubt.
I told my girlfriend.
Like, I'll go right now.
My girlfriend is very bougie.
I
and
got
so
12 minutes to get there.
The idea of an Asian buffet outside of the city of Las Vegas to her does not sound appealing at all.
Well, and I'm going to Vegas in June, and I was talking to the wife, and I was like, I just don't want to eat buffets. She goes, babe, Vegas buffets are next level.
Yeah,
we're totally doing that.
We got everything.
Yeah, she's so the idea of an Asian buffet and Tigered, that's only $22.
It's like
her.
Conveyor belt sushi. It sounds awesome.
Conveyor belt sushi is awesome.
It is. You just grab what you want. Oh, it's absolutely fantastic.
There's a really great conveyor belt sushi place in Beaverton. Robots bring you your drinks.
I went there.
Isn't it fun?
It's so awesome. Fantastic. You get a little prize if you eat 15 plates.
Yes, you do.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a little Pokeball of a prize.
Yeah, you get a little Lego something or a keychain or something.
He said Pokeball. I assumed he was racist.
That's what it looks like.
we're talking about the Seattle Mariners. And guys, I guess I'll throw this out. I teased it coming into this, that this division is wide open. I think Houston is going to take a big step back. Texas is a giant wild card, as are the Mariners, about how both those teams are going to perform. I love the lineup in Texas. I hate their rotation. I love the rotation in Seattle. The lineup is worrisome. The A's are my pick to be the scariest team of the season for both leagues.
Because they got Luis Severino.
No, because I think all those guys are going to keep taking steps forward, and I love management there. I think Oakland's doing a really good job. And then the Angels have probably spent more money than anybody else in that division. So as the Mariners stack,
and they're going to suck.
They are going to suck. I'm going to take the Angels to finish last, and it's not even close.
Shocking.
Can the Mariners, let's say... Let's look at Joe's preview. Joe, let's look at your preview. Let's say Julio has a better year. Doesn't have to be all-star, but a better year. Randy has a better year. Polanco gives you something. Cal stays the same. And J.P. Crawford goes back to the medium for him. Can this team win the division?
Yes. Yes, they can. But it's one of those that I'm not going to believe it until I see it. And I that could be a cop-out for some, whatever, but I feel the same way with the Astros, where it's like, I'm taking them to win the division, and I'll believe it. I will believe that they have fallen back, taken a step back when I see them do that, because we thought they did last year.
Yeah, we really did.
Well, it was a dreadful first month and a half for them. I mean, not just in Houston Astros terms, just in baseball terms.
They were bad in April,
10
May.
10 games below 500 at one point. Like, it was not good. And then, wouldn't you know it, they ended up winning the division. And so, I'm sticking with the Astros. I think Texas is going to have a bounce-back year. Their younger talent really sucked an egg last year.
Wyatt Langford and Evan Carter are just going to get better.
But they really need Josh Young to step up. Yep. They need Jonah Heim to have a better
season.
Adolis
Garcia's got to be better,
too. Corey Seager should be great. Marcus Semien should be great.
I was doing these fantasy drafts.
Adolis Garcia needs to have a bounce-back year.
I was doing these fantasy drafts. Like, I just did one the other day. And I have Corey Seager in both leagues, and he was hurt for a lot of last year and hit 30 bombs.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot what he did last year, and someone had to remind me.
And was out for most of the year.
I think it was also like you just, because of Texas seasons last year, you forgot what he did. And
they won the World Series 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, exactly. That's why I feel like, you know, Houston and Texas, I can bank on those two teams. Houston, perennial AL West division winner. Texas, 2 years removed
from
they
got a stud
from a World Series.
Yeah, but they did lose Kirby Yates, though. That is a big piece. He's on San Diego's roster now, right? I mean, he just came out of nowhere with that, like, amazing all-star closer season. He's been all right, but, like, basically just played way above his station in 2020.
But I'm going to go back to this. If Julio is better, if Julio is not what you necessarily paid or the hype, but better than last year, he can't be worse than last year. If J.P. Crawford comes back to the mean, if Randy Rosarena can bat 270 instead of 220, I think this team wins the division. That's why I picked them last week to win the division. Because I have to think, Joe, I want to keep hammering on this because this is what you said, and I can't believe you more. Schultz's talking about seven guys. You got too many, I need you to step up. But you brought up the point. If half of them do better, this team's in the playoffs.
Literally.
With Gerrit Cole going down, the American League, I feel like, is so wide open. Watch the Central take a big step back, okay? Watch Boston flame out, okay? Watch Baltimore realize they need starting pitching. There is no team in the American League that is bona fide stud right now.
But also in this AL West, man, if you're looking at the projected starting lineup for the Texas Rangers, I'm going to go 1-9 for you. Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, Wyatt Langford, Jock Peterson, Adelis Garcia, Josh Young, Evan Carter, Jake Berger, Jonah Heim.
It's great.
Like that.
That's a World Series lineup.
That is a really good one.
It's absolutely a World Series lineup.
And again, I know they're kind of going through the same thing.
And we're in off years with Bochy.
Hey.
Now we're in odd years with Bochy. Yeah. He was even years
with
in
the Giants.
Now he's odd years in Texas.
Means we got odd year Mitch Garver, too. So because he won the World Series with them in 23 with a bang-up season.
And I think we need to submit a ticket over at A&A on Friday for the Texas Rangers winning the World Series.
I'm going to throw $5 down on that.
But, I mean, it's kind of... And while I say, look, that 1-9, it's great. I mean, they are in the same boat as the Mariners, where it's like, you need to be better than you were last year.
Yeah, but their starting rotation is Nathan Eovaldi and John Gray and maybe DeGrom. Like, we don't know. Is this DeGrom of the Mets or is this DeGrom of the Mets? Like, I don't know. You know, I hate that starting rotation in Texas.
Didn't they just grab Patrick Corbin too?
Yeah, they might be my least favorite rotation of the entire division.
Don't let Patrick Corbin anywhere near that baseball in the MLB ranks.
They're plugging holes essentially at the bottom of the Texas Rangers rotation.
But so. You know, but they got that rocker kid who could be good. They've got what's the other flamethrower they got? His name's escaping me right now. The kid. They could be good. But again, I'm gonna hammer this, and I'm gonna hammer it all season long. To Joe's point, if half of those dudes come back to the average, the Mariners are in the playoffs. And if they go above average, the Mariners are in the ALCS.
I hear
Cleveland, Seattle, calling it right now.
I mean, I hear it. I see the production that they had, even in that great month of September, where they were top five in offense. It was only a collection of guys. You know, it was Julio having a decent resurgence. It was Cal kind of having a better year than he had the rest of the year. But then you look at other players like Jorge still hit like crap in September. JP still hit like crap in September. So the whole Edgar thing, like the new age offense being, you know, all of a sudden just ushered in with Edgar's presence, like, I'm not quite ready to believe it yet, but like I think a couple of these guys can bounce back, but everybody's just putting all their chips on the Edgar magic allowing all these guys to. And I'm just, I don't know about that, man. I'm not quite sure. Not the best plan.
Well, we'll see how it goes. When we come back, loaded second hour, let's dive into the rest of the league. Let's take a peek around, all right? Let's see who are the players we think are going to have giant seasons and the teams that we think are going to have great runs. We'll do that. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hot Corner, today the Fan.